Welcome back. Mike Warren Thomas here. It is Discover the Finger Lakes on WYSL 1040, 92.1 FM. And beautiful, beautiful weather. What a crazy time we've had with the weather. It was 2 weeks ago. We had a whiteout. Last Friday, it was basically 80 degrees. And now we're back to near 80 this weekend. So maybe summer is here, at least for the time being, and time to get out in the garden. Judging by how busy the garden centers have been, everyone is anxious to get out in the garden and get some color out there, get some plants growing. As I said in the gardening show, if you want to avoid crowds, go to some of the destination nurseries that are outsider area, Palmeter's in Avon, Sarah's Garden Center in Brockport, Grandpa's Nursery in Sodus, and check out some of the last of the apple trees in bloom while you're out that way. Again, now's the time to put a lot of these things in the ground. Memorial Day is kind of the usual time to put your gardens in and plant your annuals. I consider it usually a little bit late. I try to start earlier, but Mother Nature wasn't very helpful with the late frosts and things. And so I got some seeds in, and didn't get a lot of other things planted until now. But I do have some things growing in the garden, and the peas, the spinach and things are up, and it's really just a lot of fun to go out, be able to pick some of my own herbs or spinach and enjoy those, and a little bit of nature in the backyard, and usually I've got toads that sing and mate and lay eggs in our little tiny pond, our city yard, and so I figured I'd up the ante this year and brought back a couple of bullfrog pollywogs from Sarah's Garden Center, and I may regret this. I'm figuring if the bullfrogs end up being too loud, assuming they turn into bullfrogs, and I think they will. These are huge pollywogs. Assuming they turn into bullfrogs and are too loud, I could relocate them somewhere else. But just got to give it a try. We'll see if we end up with some bullfrogs in the backyard and what the neighbors say. The phone number here, 585-346-3000. Feel free to give us a call if you have comments and suggestions on what to do. Talking with a number of people, including Chris Clemens from Exploring Upstate, exploringupstate.com, his blog. If you want to avoid crowds and avoid people, go outside the city, go to areas where fewer people live, and check out some of the trails, some of the lakes. Do some little bit of research, and you'll have far fewer people than if you had just go to Highland Park, for example, where it's the center of a city of a couple hundred thousand people. It's not surprising Highland Park would be busy when the lilacs are blooming, and lots of other things blooming too. And the lilacs are late this year. They are only now coming into full bloom. They'll be blooming into June probably. But again, a lot of them just reaching full bloom right now. So it's a beautiful time to go. There'll be fewer people there if it rains at some point. Still this weekend, or maybe early in the morning, toward dusk later in the day, there'll be fewer people, and you can do some exploring. There also are a surprising number of lilacs in a very different area that I don't think people realize are lilacs there, and that's over by Cobbs Hill Reservoir. Not up at the reservoir, but down near the corner of Monroe and Culver. There's tennis courts there, and then there's baseball fields that are closer to Hillside Drive. I think that's Hillside Drive, but yeah, where the fountains and there's a City of Rochester Cobbs Hill Lodge there. And kind of between the tennis courts and the baseball field, which is a big area. It's probably a couple of football fields of space, which is a lot of lilacs. And again, I don't think many people realize that they're there. I'm not sure why they're there, actually, but there are a surprising number of lilacs in that space. And, of course, the reservoir has been very busy. It's a pretty spot, great spot for sunsets. I was up there this past week enjoying lunch in my car, looking out in the City of Rochester. But the prime areas of city parks are just going to be busy. No way around that. But there are lots of trails and it texted me that reminder that the some of the railroad beds, he mentions the Lehigh Valley Trail, are relatively wide, and that's helpful as people are out walking or biking or whatever. The narrow trails are a little bit tricky. So bring a mask with you. Put it on if you're going to be close to people. Again, it's respecting them. And even if they're wearing a mask, it doesn't mean you don't have to. That means that they are respecting you and protecting you. The mask is really to keep the virus from reaching other people when someone's talking, coughing, sneezing, or just maybe breathing heavy on a walk or while they're biking. You don't need the exposure to that virus. So that's why people are wearing masks. The mask you're wearing, that doesn't protect you all that much. A little bit. It's worth doing to protect you, but it really is keeping the people who are asymptomatic or think they just have a little cold from spewing that virus out into the air around other people, the so-called super spreaders. Wearing a mask keeps that from happening. And around the country, there are factories, there are businesses, there are all kinds of examples where people thought they didn't need to wear masks and paid the price. So if we want to stay open, if we want to keep our businesses on this trajectory toward opening, we need to respect the social distancing and wearing a mask. It's crucial. We can't afford to go in another shutdown, and we can't afford to lose tens of thousands of more lives. And the timing is crucial. There was a report, a university studied the trajectory of this virus and figured that if the shutdown had happened 2 weeks earlier than it did in this country, just 2 weeks, tens of thousands of lives would have been saved. People would not have died from the virus. And the difference of just 2 weeks was extreme. So that's, we're just learning more about this virus, and we need to take the precautions so we don't see exponential growth. Just wear a mask. It's that simple. Also, a reminder, and Chris had sent me this a few weeks ago about ticks. If you're out hiking, if you're walking, we've found ticks on our dog, which we brought with us, to Mendon Ponds and to Durand. And we were, you know, dog was on a leash. We were staying on the trails, and yet the ticks were there. So there are, it was a mild winter, which also leads to a bigger tick population. And you need to get in, just in the habit of checking, wearing long pants, staying out of, you know, long, long grass, and staying more on the trails, which I'm sad about. I mean, I love going off the trails and exploring in the woods. I'm going to do less of that now because I really don't want to deal with the ticks. And if you have a dog with you, check that dog and do some brushing. Be careful. There are a lot of ticks out there. And they, I was talking to my neighbor who said that he's seen them just on the ends of grass blades. And I haven't really noticed this, partly because I don't wear my glasses when I'm hiking. And so I don't see some of the smaller details. And you can actually see these ticks sort of hanging on the ends of often grass, I guess, but other things, just waiting to grab onto something that walks by. Could be a deer, could be your dog, could be your leg. And we need to be aware of them, what they look like. And I have to say that even though I've spent time in Cape Cod, which has a lot of ticks, and spent a lot of time outdoors here, I had not seen a tick or found one on me until this month, this past few weeks. So it depends where you go. And up until the shutdown, I hadn't done as much hiking around Mendon Ponds or Durand, I guess. And we hadn't necessarily taken our dog when we went out hiking. So I'm not sure what's changed, whether just there are a lot more ticks or whether I wasn't putting myself in a spot where they were. But, for Memorial Day weekend, a lot of people spending time outdoors, and you need to be aware and consider wearing long pants, at least while you're out doing your hiking. And do some looking online to see what the ticks look like, see how to take them off you, just to be more knowledgeable and protect the people who are with you, too. Same goes with poison ivy. Learn to recognize it, and you can protect the family and friends that might be hiking with you at some point in the future and keep them out of it. Keep your pets out of it, too. Dogs get poison ivy on their fur coats. Doesn't bother them, but you touch their fur coats, and that oil can get on your skin from the dog. So, again, it's being aware will save you a lot of itching, and being aware of the ticks, especially important with Lyme disease and other diseases these ticks carry. So there's a disease called powassan, which comes from a town in Ontario, Canada, where they first found this disease that was transmitted by a tick, and it is moving. The ticks that are infected with this powassan are expanding their territory. Ticks in general are expanding their territory, And so we need to be even more aware of it. And let me know stories that you have about where you've seen the ticks, where you found them, how you found them. Again, you've got to avoid Lyme disease. It is a huge nightmare for many, many people. And treating it early is key, but I heard many stories about people who have been really severely affected by Lyme disease. So that makes me more vigilant for the looking and checking for ticks. And there are different ticks, too, by the way. It's good to know the difference in those, and that will give you more information about what you have to look for and how big they are, too. Some are bigger than others. But again, the phone number here, 585-346-3000. Spending time outdoors is crucial. I hope you get a chance to get out on your bicycle this weekend. Maybe get out in the water. I saw a note somewhere that the Waterways Center was going to reopen at some point here, and we'd be able to rent kayaks and canoes once again. I was somewhere recently, maybe it was online, I saw an ad for a kayak, which is getting more and more tempting to get a kayak, because we have so many waterways around our area that are fantastic for kayaking. You know, all the lakes, the rivers, the canal, some really fabulous kayaking. If you are at some point getting out in a kayak or a canoe, be careful. This is my safety broadcast. Wear a life vest. Let people know where you're going, and beware the size of waves that can be generated fairly quickly on lakes, Finger Lakes. These are big lakes. You do have to be careful. But we have so many great waterways to get out on and explore. And, you know, you might run into ticks getting to the water, but you won't run into them on the water. You might run into some black flies, but they're not as bad here as they are in the Adirondacks. And I haven't seen any mosquitoes. This is a little strange, actually. I've been sitting outside a fair amount the last few days and just have not seen any mosquitoes. I'm not sure why. We've had some rain, and it's been warm enough, certainly, for them. But they'll show up at some point. It's the beauty of Mother Nature. All these things, the good and the bad, we need to learn more about them, be more aware of them, and spending more time outside will do that. I mentioned during the gardening show, if you're planting, two quick things to re-mention. Break the roots when you're putting in annuals, perennials, and shrubs, anything coming out of a pot. Break them with your hands, with annuals, with shrub, with a shovel or a trowel, with the perennials and the shrubs that have heavier roots. And consider planting later in the day when the plants can have a overnight time to recover before facing the sun and the wind. It does make a difference for them. And finally, if you have plants you don't recognize, send me photos. I have fun trying to figure out what they are. Whether it's something you think is poison ivy and you're worried about it, or is a weed that you don't know how to get rid of, or not sure whether you actually planted what's growing, or whether it is a weed that's just very happy. And sometimes that happens. You buy a perennial, you put it in, say, last year, and in that pot was usually some like Osmocote type of fertilizer pellets and say that perennial died for whatever reason, the weeds, seeds and things that were in that same area now have access to that fertilizer that the perennial is going to use, and so those weeds could turn into really big plants that don't really look like they usually do. So, again, email me, photomichael@saverlife.com. Our strawberries are blooming, and while spring was late, the strawberries seem to be catching up. They've been blooming for a while. We got tons of them blooming in our backyard, and usually around the first week of June, the first strawberries will become available. Might be the second week of June this year, but strawberries are one of those amazing fruits that is so much better from a local or homegrown strawberry than what are shipped in all year long. So I love strawberry season, and it's great to see these strawberries in bloom. The news from the Finger Lakes in terms of the vineyards, maybe a little bit of damage from the late frosts, but probably not much. There are a number of vineyards that were lighting bales of straw and hay on fire, sort of a smudge fire to try to move the air and keep the cold air from freezing the vines. So it looks like that worked fairly well, and we may have escaped another winter without severe damage. Danger of frost at this point is pretty much over. So good news in the Finger Lakes vineyards and vineyards around New York State. They are the buds have broken. They're starting to grow, and the 2020 season is off and running. The wineries are not open. The tasting rooms are not open yet. They will open at some point in mid-June, probably. Right now, they're in phase 3, and that's not scheduled to happen until maybe June 12th in that range. If everything goes well and people wear masks and socially distance and keep the infection rate low, the tasting rooms hopefully will be open in mid-June. We'll update you as the time gets closer. For now, the wineries, most of them, are doing shipping and curbside pickup, so you have a couple of options. Also, and some are delivering. Zugabee Vineyards is one of the most aggressive in terms of delivering. They'll deliver within 60 miles. Now, they might not be able to deliver tomorrow or today because they probably have a schedule set up of, Rochester on whatever day and Syracuse on another day. But they're delivering within 60 miles. And they're also offering the FLX collaboration case. I mentioned this on the wine show a couple of times. This is a 12 bottles of dry rosé from 12 different wineries. It is, again, unusual thing in the wine industry to have wineries collaborating like this. Normally, a winery like Zugabee Vineyards would only sell their own dry rosé. Why would they sell other ones? They'll sell fewer of theirs if they're selling other people's dry rosés. But this sense of collaboration is a key part of the region. And so they went around and picked up the dry rosés from the 11 other participating wineries. And now they're the pickup location or ordering location for this FLX collaboration case. And it is 12 dry rosés, quite different in color. Many different wineries, of course, 12 wineries, and just kind of a cool way to buy dry rosé. I love the way they're doing this, and it's only $190 for the case. It's only available by the case, but $190 is $12 a bottle, something like that, little less. So, and dry rosés in general are fairly inexpensive, but most of them are in the $15 to $20 range, $22 maybe at most. So this case is a great bargain. Again, ZugabyVineyards.com if you want to get that dry rosé FLX collaboration case. And as I said in the wine show, I'm hoping that they offer a similar case. Maybe not Zugaby, maybe another winery will do this, but maybe a case of dry reds, a case of dry Rieslings, a case of Chardonnays. I mean, there's really lots of possibilities, and it's I don't think it's a big operation logistically. You have to go get the 11 other wines, but you can accumulate those over a few weeks probably, and put together these collaboration cases. So I don't know if any others are being considered, but I'm hopeful that we'll see more. This one available through Zugaby Vineyards. If you hear of things like this, love to hear about them. Email me, michael@saverlife.com. We'll take a quick break. Be back after words from our sponsors on WYSL 1040.
I was working in a line barn, eating beans and hay. Boss a-kicking my stern every night and every day. So I hired out Connallan as a horny and a toil, driving mules that kept up bawling long the towpath smelly shore. Long the towpath smelly shore, me boys, a towpath smelly shore. Driving mules that kept up bawling long the towpath smelly shore.
Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here, the sponsors of Discover the Finger Lakes, and those include Glenora Wine Cellars, which is looking forward to opening their tasting room when Phase 3 begins mid-June. It's glenora.com. In the meantime, they are shipping wines, lots of wine, and also doing curbside pickup. I picked up a case of wine a couple of weeks ago at Glenora, probably because I wanted to go just drive through the region. I knew the tasting rooms were shut down, but I ordered a couple of cases in advance from different places and stopped at Glenora pick up a case of wine. And they're working on plans for the reopening, what that will look like for their inn, for their restaurant, as well as for the tasting room. And, they have a big team to put this together. It comes down to trust. I trust the people at Glenora are going to do this well. And I look forward to visiting them in the near future. But again, you can get wine right now. Get that shipped right to your door. And some delicious wines, including some fruit wines that they've added over quite a few years now. They've added a number of additional fruit wines and sparkling wine, beautiful dry reds, and all kinds of Chardonnays and Rieslings. It's glenora.com. For more details. Also brought to you by Full Moon Vista Bike and Sport, and they are located University right near Culver. They're one of the essential businesses, so for transportation, and you can get your bicycle repaired there. You can get new bicycles. They can deliver a bicycle to you if you like. And look them up online, fullmoonvista.com, for more information. University Avenue, right near Living Roots Winery and Sager Beer Works, and Culver Road, fullmoonvista.com. Also brought to you by Fruition Seeds. They are in Naples, up in the hills above Naples, and are doing some pickup of transplants that are pre-ordered on Saturdays. But they also can ship you seeds if you want to grow some things from seed. They are a fantastic seed company. Go to fruitionseeds.com and get more details. They recently put out a list of some of the seeds and things that you should plant now. And some of the things that maybe you want to wait on at this point, seeds like spinach and radishes and lettuce. At this point, those should be put in sort of late summer, early fall. Right now, you can put in all kinds of transplants. You can put in beets and parsnips and much more. Check out their website, fruitionseeds.com, for more details. Again, one of the newest seed companies in New York State. And exciting to see the work they're doing with Cornell and with farmers to get seeds specifically for our region, for our cool climate here. Fruitionseeds.com. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on Discover the Finger Lakes. Thomas here. It's Discover the Finger Lakes on WYSL 1040, 92.1 FM. And some of the big events of summer have been canceled. Some are still, you know, they're hoping to hold them. Fox Run Vineyards has canceled their garlic festival. So if that was one of your favorite things, one of my favorite things, very disappointing to not have that, but about 10,000 people that came for that festival. So this, during a pandemic, is really not a time to have that many people in one place. Also, some other places are doing some creative options for special events and one of our listeners sent me a note about it was one of the smaller festivals. The artists that were involved were going to do kind of a drive-through pickup for pre-orders, kind of like the Brighton Farmers Market is doing now on Sundays. You have to pre-order and you have to prepay for things at the Brighton Farmers Market. And she had suggested that maybe, you know, the Lilac Festival, those vendors, which, you know, it's not just the fried bread, fried dough, but, you know, a lot of artist vendors that signed up for the Lilac Festival, you know, have lost a tremendous amount of sales. That's a big festival, and one of the first of the season. So, you know, if you have favorite artists that you look forward to seeing at some of these festivals, consider looking them up online and maybe ordering some things from them or shipping something to someone else as a gift from them. But keep in mind that as many people are artists that rely on the summer festivals and events like that are going to struggle right now. And, you know, just a few people doing that, maybe passing the word on through social media that, you know, you connected with one of the artists that you've admired over the years and purchased a few of their things, used them as gifts, etc. Maybe that'll inspire some more people to do the same. It's really a matter of not just financially, but also psychologically, giving them a vote of confidence and letting them know that, you're here and you're looking forward to seeing them in the near future. The phone number here, 585-346-3000. You can also email me, michael@saverlife.com. And if you are if you're out, maybe taking a ride in the countryside to get out and see some of the trees, the orchards, etc. I was at Bergen Water Gardens yesterday, and then took Route 19, which is very close to where Bergen Water Gardens is, and goes straight up to Brockport. I was noticing that it's called Lake Road, and I was thinking, well, that's odd, because there really are no lakes around here. But I must go up to Lake Ontario, which is makes sense, I guess. You call it Lake Road if it's the road to the lake, just the way Buffalo Road is the road to Buffalo. So I looked up at the signs at Lake Road. You know, I think of Lakeshore Boulevard, and there's a Lake Road up along Lake Ontario. But I think of it as Route 19. I didn't realize it was also a named road. I thought that was odd, Lake Road. Anyway, there were several little small towns that you drive through, some interesting architecture, some just odd places. I mean, it was intriguing, and I wish I could have driven slower, which means I probably should have brought my bicycle or something and gone for a ride out there. But I really enjoyed driving through the small towns and exploring our region. These are towns, you know. Bergen is, I drove through Bergen, a tiny place, and it was some cool buildings. Definitely a small town in need of some serious investment in those old buildings, the old downtown buildings, which is maybe all of a city block long. And I'm hoping that people will explore these communities more, and the result will be deciding to invest in them at some point. Before these buildings disappear, you know, and I lose the roof, which then the building will go soon after that. Because in the long run, we can't replace these, and they are part of our history. They're things that other parts of the country don't have, these little old downtowns. And some of them are recovering really well, slowly, but really hard work with the residents. I've mentioned Perry and a little bit bigger city, Geneva, and Clifton Springs and Mount Morris. But there are lots and lots of other small towns that need investment. And it starts by people just realizing they're there, by driving through, by taking a different route, by not always taking the shortest route, by intentionally spending a little time exploring areas that you don't normally drive around very much. So let me know what you discover. Send me a few photos. And again, it's a chance to see and learn about our history. There are signage and things around our area. You know, stop and read those. Spend a little bit more time in these quieter areas, and I'll guarantee that they're not as crowded as the big cities. That's for sure. I was thinking and talking to several people about New York City and you know, major cities around the world. And I get spoiled by having a yard, by having parks nearby, by having just so much beautiful nature here in our area. And it's really hard to imagine being in this kind of shutdown period and not being able to go out in my yard and being in a apartment building, condominium building, where you know you worry about using the elevator, but you're maybe up too high to use the stairs very often, or maybe you can't because of health considerations. And if you go outside, if there's just the street and the sidewalk, and you know it's relatively crowded. So, you know, here it just seems like if you are if you have to shelter in place, we have a really really great place here. So take advantage of it and enjoy it. It's really you could drive around our region for the next 3 weeks and you would not make it to all the small towns. You'd use a fair amount of gas, but you would not make it to all the little towns. At the end of that, you would discover there were, you know, 15 or 20 more, or some that were just outside of that range. So whether it's Albion or Phelps or Warsaw or you know, Hammondsport, you'll run into little towns you never even heard of. So it's great. You know, you can't really infect anyone in your car. There are a few people on the road because people are staying home. Just occasionally, at least I need to get out and do some driving around. Again, it's a luxury that we live in an area that's not as congested as a big city, and it really makes me appreciate it. We're close enough to the big cities that we can get there when we need to, but we don't have the traffic jams, we don't have the congestion that they do. And if you want some suggestions on where to go, I mentioned earlier Chris Clemens of Exploring Upstate. He hasn't been to all the small towns, I don't think, but he's gotten to far more than most of us. And you can read posts about him, and maybe, you know, that you read something that you want to go see, on your way there, you'll discover several more places. And you should pass those along to him, because he's also always looking for ideas. So exploringupstate.com, a great way to get ideas for where you could go and what you might run into, whether it's a historical destination, a religious one, thing of natural beauty. Really, he kind of covers all of those things. So exploringupstate.com to get more information. This afternoon started already. There is a farmer's market at Newbury Park Pastries. It's at Newbury and Friends. They've done this for quite a few weeks now on Saturdays from 11 to 3 at Mushroom Boulevard in the Genesee Regional Market. And they have probably six or so vendors there, six or seven vendors. So it's not big. It's not crowded. I was there last Saturday, and it's pretty quiet. I mean, Mushroom Boulevard is a dead-end street, and this is kind of the industrial part of the Genesee Regional Market. So check it out today. Until 3, they'll be there. And then if you drive back toward the Genesee Regional Market, as you hit Clay Road, there's a stoplight, and you look straight ahead into the main retail part of the market. They just put up a big, huge, huge new building And I was kind of hoping they were going to leave it purple. That was the color of the insulation or one of the layers they were putting on the building. And they've covered it up now with brick and stucco. And I thought the purple was much cooler. But there's going to be new businesses in there, maybe some moving from within the Genesee Regional Market. I know Sweet Pea Plant-Based Kitchen, I believe they're one of the places that's going to be moving in there. So the building's done. The exterior is. I think they're working on the interior. And the summer, some of those businesses will start to move in. But Sweet Pea Plant-Based, where you order food on... You order on Wednesdays, I think, by Wednesday at midnight, and you pick it up on Sunday. They're going to have more options once they're able to move into this new space. So, but I do miss the purple. I really do. Chris just texted me from Exploring Upstate that Chimney Bluffs has reached capacity. They're not allowing any more visitors or traffic in because there's... too many people. And this is probably going to happen quite a bit this weekend because of Memorial Day. And with warm weather, we're going to see more of this kind of, these limitations put on destinations. So get there early or choose places that very few people know about and are out of the way. Chimney Bluffs is a cool destination, and it is kind of out of the way, but it also is well known and pretty popular. So, consider going out maybe during the week when some of the parks and things won't be as busy as they are on a Memorial Day weekend. Email me anytime, michael@saberlife.com. We'll take a quick break. Be back after a word from our sponsors on WYSL 1040. Welcome back. Mike Warren Thomas here, the sponsors of Discover the Finger Lakes, places you need to go explore, discover. Bet the Farm is a winery near Trumansburg. It's at betthefarmny.com. One of the smaller wineries in the Finger Lakes. They have a new tasting room, new production facility. Right now, of course, the tasting room is not open, but they're shipping wine. BetTheFarmNY.com in near Trumansburg. Some great people. And Nancy Tisch, one of the owners and the winemaker, was featured in Edible Finger Lakes a little while ago, an article about some of the female winemakers in the Finger Lakes. Longtime female winemaker in the Finger Lakes. It's BetTheFarmNY.com. Also brought to you by Bristol's Garden Center. A busy day, no doubt, for Bristol's Garden Center. And to catch them when they're not as busy, maybe go early in the morning or toward dinner time. People are home having dinner and they're not out at the garden centers. Might be a good time to visit Bristol's. You can check their hours and selection at bristolsgardencenter.com. Route 96, just south of the thruway. And on your way into Victor. And it's one of the destination garden centers here in our region. Grandpa's Nursery is up in Sodus, and they are one of the key underwriters of the Gathering of Gardeners that's held each year of the Monroe County Cooperative Extension. And Grandpa's Nursery has fabulous plants and also pretty inexpensive plants. I think they're encouraging people with their prices to drive out to SOTUS and visit their nursery. And they won't be as busy as some of the nurseries more closer in to Rochester. Grandpa'sNursery.com. It's Route 104 in SOTUS at Rotterdam Road. And might be a pretty day to go up and see some of those apple orchards and things. It's Grandpa'sNursery.com. Another destination nursery, Sarah's Garden Center in Brockport, and Palmenter's Garden Nursery, Route 39 between Avon and Geneseo. These are places that they'll be busy, but they won't probably be crazy busy this weekend. And you'll probably want to go back. Some of them have some great gardens. As I mentioned, with Grandpa's Nursery, lower prices than most nurseries, it seems. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on Discover the Finger Lakes. Welcome back. Mike Oren Thomas here with Discover the Finger Lakes. I saw a note on Facebook just a few days ago that a building in Geneva is for sale, and the business. Opus, which is a coffee shop, and have they done any wine there, but it's a coffee shop, a really nice one. It's a cool building right on Main Street in Geneva. And it's, I think, three stories with apartments above it or offices. And it's for sale. I think I saw $269,000, which I have no idea. But it's basically, I have no idea whether that's a good price or not. It's basically a turnkey restaurant. It's ready to go. I don't know if Opus is open right now while the sale is... or while it's the building's for sale. But it was one of the owners who posted it on Facebook. So I'm confident that it is for sale. And it's just interesting to see it's a cool building and a fabulous coffee shop in really the culinary epicenter of the Finger Lakes. Geneva, for a bunch of reasons, I think you could argue, is the culinary center of the Finger Lakes. Clearly, there are more restaurants in Rochester. There's more restaurants in Syracuse and in Ithaca. But they are on the edge of the Finger Lakes, and Geneva, for the size of the city it is, has a lot of cool things happening in terms of food and wine and cocktails, etc. And that seems to be continuing to grow. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with this building. I would venture it's going to be much easier to sell, well, not during a pandemic, but now than it was when Opus opened. Opus was one of the relatively early businesses in the growth of Geneva's food culture, and it's a bright future, I think, for that part of the Finger Lakes in particular, for a lot of reasons. It's very accessible from the thruway, the northern Finger Lakes, closer to more metropolitan areas, although you could argue the Southern Finger Lakes closer to New York City, but it's an exciting time for Geneva. Let's get through this pandemic, and we'll see what happens with the Opus building. So if you run into key buildings like this and businesses that are for sale, I'd love to hear about them. Let me know and send me a note, send me a link. Michael@saverlife.com. Randy Agnes from Agnes Wine Cellars sent me a note that I was talking about cases of wines from different wineries that he's thinking of putting together a case of Finger Lakes Rieslings that he's featured on his virtual wine tastings. He's been doing those on Thursdays at, I think, 7 p.m. So you can link to those through Agnes Wine Cellars. I like the idea of 12 different Rieslings in a case. It gets me to try some wines that I wouldn't otherwise have tried, and give it a nice stockpile of Rieslings. So we'll let you know if that happens, but you can follow him online. We'll be back tomorrow with the Grapevine. We'll be on from 9 to 11 tomorrow, and email me with comments, suggestions, questions, Michael@saverlife.com. Have a great day.